Welcome to another Sunday Debrief with myself, Lee Finch. I'll be taking you through everything that happened yesterday at Harrogate, the Salford game, Johnny Jackson, the ticketing fiasco, and anything else anyone wants to speak about. Get involved. Just press that speak button. Come on, have your say. We are the only place that gives fans a voice, so you can come on, have your say. No matter the opinion, we will listen to you, hear it, and let you know what we think. Let's start. We'll start with Harrogate yesterday. So obviously we were 2-0 up, ended up drawing the game 2-2 with the last 5 minutes of the game. I think everyone knew what was going to happen as soon as they went 2-1. Bit disappointing. Johnny Jackson went up there with a team that I was a bit disappointed that he picked. There was no Alfie Bendall on the bench, which was disappointing in my eyes, considering that we're coming to the end of the season. We've recalled these youngsters to play, and unfortunately wasn't even on the bench. And I understand the reason for that was that the game wasn't going to suit his style of play. So we went with Broom in goal. What was it again? We went with right back was Ogundiri, Pierre and Will as the centre-backs. Lee Brown came in for Jack Curry at left-back. We went with Marsh. No, we didn't. Where was Marsh? Marsh was on the bench. I'm trying to think now off the top of my head who played. It was that bad. I kind of have forgotten now. But where did we go? We went with, who did we go? Woodyard, Little as the two defensive midfielders. And then we went with Chislett, Ali up front. And who else played? Oh, and Pearson on the right wing. Well, I thought Pearson had a good game. I thought Pierre had a really good game. I did see a written statement the other day or today from, Dave, that wrote that Pierre should be our priority. I'm not sure I totally agree with that, even though Pierre's played two good games. Before that, he looked unfit and wasn't exceptional. Even though he looks good now, I wouldn't be thinking that would be our priority, is to get Pierre on a contract. I think we have other priorities, and I think if Pierre plays well for the rest of the season, then maybe that's something that we should be looking at. But yeah, I didn't agree with the we should be getting Pierre in as a matter of priority. We started well. I thought we were playing some good football. I thought we done well. I know a lot of Wimbledon fans, or a few of my mates who were up there, a lot of them left around about half time. Apparently, the conditions at Harrogate were not nice. The stewards weren't very nice. I know we've had complaints about our stewards, but apparently the Harrogate stewards made it a nightmare for Wimbledon fans to kind of try and enjoy the game, try and get into the ground. We had some ticketing issues as well, which have been made clear. And I know Danny's listening and been made aware to Danny. I think Danny's got straight on that and sorted that, even though his missus is about to drop at any minute. So good luck with that, Danny. But yeah, there was some ticketing issues up at Harrogate. Harrogate, again, I don't think they were the nicest club to deal with. People had proof of purchase and stuff like that to get into the game. And Harrogate just said no, they weren't going to let people in, even though the tickets hadn't arrived, but people could prove that they bought them tickets, which is a bit of a nightmare for people that have gone all the way to Harrogate to unfortunately then not be able to get into the game, which was very unfortunate. And as I said, I know Danny is dealing with that. If you want to come on and say anything in regards to the game yesterday, then press that speak button. Send some messages in the comments if you don't feel like you want to come on and speak. But yeah, if you've got anything to say regarding the Harrogate game yesterday, was you at the game? What did you think of Wimbledon's collapse? Is it something that we are now having to get used to? What is it? I think we've dropped 32 points from winning positions. I think Arash put something up earlier regarding, I think we were 2-0 up against four of the teams around us and we ended up drawing or losing. It's pretty poor, to be fair, and our form is really bad. If you want to speak about that, then press the speak button. If you want to speak about the conditions at Harrogate, how you were treated as a fan going into the game, let us know what you thought about that. Danny Macklin is asking to speak. 1 second. Danny, how are we? Hello, Danny.
Can you hear me all right now?
I'm good, Danny. How are you? You all right?
Yeah, my signal is not fantastic, so apologies. But I just wanted to jump in. I'm not going to be able to listen to all of it at an important stage, we say, with new baby. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to clarify the ticketing thing. I know we spoke, Lee, I think it was yourself, online yesterday. So apologies for any fans that did make their way to Harrogate and were unable to get in. What would be normal process is the host club, in that case Harrogate, would contact our ticketing department, which we were obviously staffing yesterday because of the Scotland-Australia game, which as a side point was of something we were really proud to host. And I'd say the protocol wasn't followed of what they should do of contacting us. We tried to make contact with their club secretary and other departments within the club to no avail. So I just want to apologise to those that tried to get in and couldn't get in. And yeah, I want to look about how we can mobilise our SLOs so that in those situations they can try and sort of firefight on the ground. Closer game to home, we probably would have had more staff there actually on the ground, but obviously we were delivering the event at Cherry Red Record Stadium, so it was, you know, staff can't be in two places at once, plus having a rare day off. So I just wanted to give that as a bit of background to that, and I'll be speaking to the team on how we can perhaps get a few more SLOs and those that we have got as mobilised as they can be for those sort of scenarios, should they hopefully not arise in the future.
No, all respect for you, Danny, for coming on and speaking about it. I know it's a time where you're busy with your wife and your family and stuff, so we do respect that. And as I said, you were on it as soon as I raised it yesterday with you. As I said before, I've been quite critical of our SLOs this year because I believe that they're very quiet. They don't really say much. And if you look at you'll be aware of the Orient SLO. I know I've seen the Rangers SLO and other SLOs that are much on it all the time. They give out information on away pubs. They give out information where you need to go if you need to get into the ground. They're at grounds if issues like yesterday do happen, that the SLO would be there. Go to Harrogate and go, look, I work for the club. I'm a supporters liaison officer. These are the guys who have got tickets. They got proof. Can they go in? And then if they then weren't allowed in, then we could have raised it further on a club point of view to Harrogate as in regards to that. So yeah, that's what my disappointment was yesterday. I know you're, as you said, it was really busy. You had the stuff going on at the ground, but that's going to happen more often as you get them events put on all the time. And we are, unfortunately, with regards to paid stuff, we are a little bit threadbare, which unfortunately at our club, it's going to be the case. But if you're going to be a supporters liaison officer, you need to fully put into it and fully follow it through.
Yeah, that's what we'll make sure. Should that scenario rest assured, it will be on sort of my top of my list when I do return to work post.
No, I agree. And as I said, it wasn't Harrogate. What I've heard from the fans I know and mates I know, some of them left 45 minutes, 30 minutes. We're winning 2-0 and people were leaving the ground because it was the way they were treated by Harrogate stewards. And again, this is something that the fans should be then raising with the SLOs, that they can then raise it with you when you're back or whoever's in looking after it while you're gone.
Yeah, we'll make sure that's fed back. I can say that, knowing the owners very well and the manager well, it's surprising to hear that, but I've heard that from a couple of fans, that not just yourself, from others. So I must go back in, but I shall be listening to most of the shows and hopefully you'll see virtually, albeit tomorrow, a number of fans at an important game tomorrow.
No, I appreciate Danny. I appreciate you coming on and clearing it up. And as we all agree, good luck with everything. And I hope it all goes well. And we'll see you with baby down at Plough Lane shortly.
See you on the other side.
Cheers, Danny. Thank you. I appreciate Danny coming on there and clearing up a few issues that did happen yesterday. As I said, I think if you've not read it, Mike Dorr, the Scores on the Doors, wrote a little kind of vlog yesterday regarding the issues that he had. He's a proud Yorkshireman, went up to Harrogate. He said that when he retires, I think he wants to live up that way there, or York. I don't know why you'd want to retire up north, but that's where he's from. So I guess it's what part and parcel of it. But yeah, he said he wasn't happy with some of the treatment of Wimbledon fans, and he was quite shocked and bewildered by some of the treatment of the stewards. And I know there was a fan who put a picture up of his young son, I think just sitting at the back of the stand, and the stewards come and moved him on, and it wasn't very pleasant from what I know. I know a few fans who left because they've had enough of watching Wimbledon, even though we were winning 2-0, which blows my mind a little bit. I had this at Crawley at the start of the season when we were winning, I think, 2-0, and we were cruising and absolutely battering Crawley at the start of the season. People were booing and leaving because it was boring. But yeah, I think a lot of people now have got to that stage where they went to Harrogate yesterday to tick off the ground. They went to Harrogate yesterday just for my mates went up there for a good piss up, watch the game or go to a new ground and see what that was about. And then they left quite early yesterday. And I think people were just bored of Johnny Jackson now. But yeah, anyone else want to come on and say anything regarding the game yesterday? Any comments you want to say, anything you have? I've got Mark Woodard up to the collapse. Friday's performance gave me hope. We look dangerous going forward. Pearson and DJ look lively. Pierre and Will strong at the back. Not enough in our defensive midfield to break up their attacks in the last 15. Gave them confidence and made us wobble. Yeah, I totally agree with that. I thought Pierre looked the best at the moment. George is coming on to save me, thank God, from talking to myself for the next hour. So thank you, George. But yeah, I agree with what Mark said there. I thought Pierre looked very well. I'm not one of these people that are going to say, yes, let's get a contract in front of him and get him signed now, and that's what we need. Because to be fair, he looked pretty bad when he first came in last two games. Yes, he's looked good, but he needs to continue that before we can start offering contracts. George, what did you make of yesterday? Did you go up to Harrogate yesterday, George?
No, I didn't. I have better things to do with Good Friday, thank you. But big respect to any of the supporters who did travel. Yesterday, I wanted to say, the first goal is what I want Ethan Chislett to do more often. I don't know if anyone else agrees. Arriving in the box, putting balls away like that. I feel like with Chis, recently, or when he plays well, he arrives late in the box and arrives onto second balls. And he hadn't done that. And I was really impressed with Chis yesterday. Obviously, the second goal's a bit of a scuff and he gets in the crowd. But the first one was really impressive. I also thought Pearson had a good game. And everyone's saying that Will had a great game. The fact that he didn't get sent off is genuinely a joke. Mm. Like that, the slide challenge he put in that wasn't a yellow, right? I think if I'm right, that wasn't a yellow, was it?
No.
I mean, if that had been us, I would have gone mental. Like if the opposition had done that to like Ali and not got a second yellow, I would have gone off the rails. So, you know, that's the type of player Will is. I think he's okay, but he has got a lot of mistakes in him, and we got away with one then. I thought we were fine yesterday, we all knew it was coming, didn't we?
I agree with you about Will. I thought he was horrendous yesterday. I don't know where this Will played really well yesterday from. I didn't think he played well at all. He looked shaky. Pierre had to save him about two or three times. Do you know what I mean? Where where's the one where he fell over at one point, or he slipped and Pierre, lucky enough, come over and great challenge. That he got, from what I've seen on TV, it's really hard to know if the angle, did he get the ball? But it looked like Will gave away a stonewall penalty. I don't know how the ref didn't give it. Thankfully, he didn't. But as I said, the only angle we can see is from that behind the goal kind of thing. Well, and it looked like a penalty to me.
Did you see the first goal as well? I mean, Woodyard just pushes Casey McAteer out of the way to then try and block a ball. And then the bloke just goes obviously the other way because Woody's come steaming in. And Pierre is just screaming at the whole back line because everyone's just let a bloke run riot. No one's put in a tackle or even tried to put in a tackle. Pierre stood there like, I can't defend this whole box on my own. And you're thinking, where the hell is our midfield? Someone just to put in a leg, or even another player just put in a leg. Do you know what I mean? It was infuriating, that first goal.
Yeah, I agree. Woodyard's infuriated me pretty much all season, to be fair, and especially since January. I don't know how he's starting every game. I don't know how we're starting players who are going to be out of contract in the summer and be moving on when we've got people like Bendall that didn't even travel. It makes me so mad. But I've got to say, Hannah Kitchen made a good point. I kept saying yesterday because for some reason today's Sunday. Yesterday was Saturday. The game felt like yesterday, but it wasn't. It was on Friday. So that's my bad fault. That's the bank holiday just screwing me up where I am meant to be. You know, like Christmas when you don't know where the days are. That's how I feel at the moment, and especially watching Wimbledon. You don't know where you are. Kevin, you wanted to come on and say something. What did you want to say? Is it yesterday's game you want to speak about?
Yeah, evening, everyone. So yesterday, day before, you got me at Italy, didn't you? so I didn't go. I listened to it on the radio in between doing my wallpapering, and it was all right until the last few minutes. I just wanted to talk about the two goals, you know, and I think George has sort of brushed over it there on the first one. I think we had something like seven players in or around our box. Yeah, they had two or three shirts up there. Yeah. No one wants to put a tackle in. They've all watched him walk round, have a little like a jig around, and then like basically take an open shot. Nobody wants to stick their foot in. The second one is just an absolute joke. There must have been, I think we counted, six red shirts at the front post for that corner. Absolutely nobody on the edge of the box to pick up that ball that's inevitably going to get sort of pushed out there if someone gets their head on it. I just wonder about them, you know. There is, I can't believe in any shape or form that at any point in training they're told to, okay, stack eight men in the box, but just dance around and don't put your foot in. And for a corner, why? Who's going to tell them put six on the front post? I just don't know what it's about, to be honest.
No, I tell you, I thought Broome was at fault for the second goal. He comes out, he flaps at it massively. This is why I want an experienced keeper. Well, not an experienced keeper, but I want a number one to come in the summer. We need to get rid of Broome. I don't think he's good enough. Have someone come in and push Nick as far as he can go, because no one's done that for the last few years. Nick knows he's the number one no matter what happens. And I want someone to come in who can be able to claim that corner. Do you know what I mean? A better keeper comes out, claims that corner, goes down on the ball, holds it, and we go and win that game. Do you know what I mean?
I don't agree with you. I didn't agree with you, to be honest, about Broome anyway. I think he's done okay. I think he's not done anything wrong. I certainly don't see Zanef coming out through a crowd of six players and punching that ball or claiming it. That's for certain, yeah. And do you know what? His distribution is better than Zanef. I don't think he's done anything wrong. The problem is six of them have decided to clump around the front post and just do nothing, basically. So no, I'm not sure about that, to be honest.
Well, I'm glad you disagree with me, Kip, because that's what it's about.
I think also the problem is, why are we giving away corners in the... Not, do you know what I mean? We sit back the whole time. We're sitting back at 2-0 up I think they scored the first one in the 89th minute. I know we had that counter-attack with Curry, but we've got to be holding balls and corners better. We've got to be using up the whole time. We've got to keep the ball in play in the corner, so we can't have the opposition corners. We can't let them. You know, they went. I'm pretty sure from the time that Curry's shot gets saved or whatever, they get the corner within about 10 seconds of that. We shouldn't be allowing that. Someone should be standing on the ball. You win the first header. It's weak to allow the corner in the first place. If that makes sense.
It's naive, isn't it? It's totally and utterly naive. And we've got a group of players who just don't know how to close the game out. You know, I quite agree, George. See, he should have been in the corner just doing whatever he could not to let the ball go back up there.
And this is a point that Ed Pennell's just made. He just sent a comment and he can't speak because of the connection, but he said he's got to lay blame at the captaincy and manager for how they communicate through the match, especially when we go ahead. It's a repeat offence which cannot be let off anymore. And I kind of agree. You're giving away a corner in the last minute of the game when you're under pressure, so you're just inviting it. And we obviously know that we're going to fold if it comes, which we did. I just don't know sometimes about our captaincy, our manager. He just stands there on the sideline, doesn't say anything. He's so uninspiring, Johnny Jackson. Do you know what I mean? He should be screaming him and Skiverton and Tuvey. He should be screaming at them boys to get the ball away from home and stuff. And it is amateur stuff at the moment.
Lee, if you watch, if anyone wants to watch it, go on iFollow. And I think you can watch the whole game. If you just skip to the final whistle, Jackson walks onto the pitch and screams at Woody, and Woody shouts back, which I'm not. I won't speculate, but it's not good. At full time when JJ comes onto the pitch, they're screaming at each other. I mean, if I was JJ, I'd be infuriated. If I was Woody, I'd be infuriated both ways. But it's never a good sign with the club when you've got the manager and the captain having a shouting match at full time in front of the fans.
I don't mind that, George. I don't mind that. That's what I want to see. That I want to see them chanting at each other, the captain, the manager. That's what I want to see. I want to see that passion. Anyone just watch the Arsenal Liverpool game? You see the passion in that game amongst the players. Do you know what I mean? Everyone wants to win a game of football. We just don't look like we want to win a game of football. Some of our players are just so easily pushed over. That's why I'm glad Pierre's come to the fold now, because he's that kind of player who ain't going to take losing. But unfortunately, he's joined the wrong club if he don't want to lose games. One thing I want to say at the end of the game, you know, the kids who bring in these signs with "Can I have your shirt?" That we don't need that anymore. All you have to do is abuse a player. You abuse a player and you'll get a signed shirt out of it. I think that's madness that Ali's giving the guy a shirt after being abused from him. What do you boys think about that one?
I really don't know, to be honest. I think it's a nice gesture from Ali. But if you as a fan go out and abuse a player and he gives it back, he's got every right to give it back.
Agree.
Especially if it's someone like Alhamadi, who's about the only player who wants to give 110%. If you want to dig out someone else and they shout back, they've got every right to shout back at you, firstly. But then don't dig out the player who's actually showing a bit of fight for the club.
I think it's madness. As I said, you don't need them cardboard signs anymore. Just go on and call Ali a prick and you get yourself a signed shirt. I just think I'm one of these people where I give it out to all the players, right? And if you turn around and give it back to me, fair play to you. You know what I mean? That's what football's all about. Do you know what I mean? Like, but yeah, you've got to put your anger at someone who actually deserves it. But Ali's come in, done absolutely wonderful for us, and someone's having a go at him. If you're on here, whoever had a go at him, if you're on here, come on, let us know who you're going to have a go at. And was it meant to be Ali? Don's Vlogs wants to get involved. We had a question from Roddy Robinson, and this is quite a serious one, to be fair. Anyone worried about relegation this year? Personally, I think we're flirting dangerous coast with the worst form in the EFL. I kind of agree with him regards this, because I think it's the teams below us have got games in hand, and if they win the games in hand, we are 6 points off the relegation. Are you seriously worried, Kevin? Are you worried about relegation this year?
Oh, 100%, mate. Absolutely 100%. If they go on a run, yeah, there is no way if we drop close to it or in it, we're ever going to get out. You know, if you look at a team that can't hold a 2-0 lead, yeah, what are they going to do if they need to get a point on the last day? You know, we're in trouble, and I think we all know what the troubles that would lead to. So, yeah, it's a serious problem for me.
Don's Vlogs, sorry, one second, George, before Don's Vlogs, we're struggling to get you connecting. It might be a connection your end. You're not coming on at the moment, unfortunately, mate. George, are you seriously worried about us getting relegated?
I think we'll be okay on the basis there are enough teams between us. Because if you look, there's obviously Rochdale would have to win every game. Hartlepool would have to win a lot of games. I think what I'm saying is there's enough teams that we would be okay, just because of the if we were 21st and we still had an 8-point gap, I'd be worried. But I think there are enough teams where you go, right, there's no way Hartlepool, Rochdale, Crawley, Colchester and Harrogate all go on runs that are enough to stay up. So I think we'll be fine. But the fact we're even talking about this, and the fact that we have a manager who can't inspire the players to go, what the hell are you, what the fuck are you doing, lads? You're a lot better than this. Like, it's very, very worrying. And for me, I mean, the scenes after Rochdale weren't very nice. We lose tomorrow. I mean, it's going to be a lot worse than the time that Robbo got booed out. Robbo got done by the boos at Cambridge, didn't he? That's when he got done. He got a statement on the Wednesday saying we backed you, booed on the Saturday and got kicked out. If Jackson loses tomorrow, which I think we will, I can't see much else coming, unless Salford are as shit as Walsall, I think we'll struggle. So if we lose tomorrow, I mean, it's going to be very ugly. Then you go. Is it tenable for him to stay?
My worry is, at the moment, you said about, well, I think Rochdale are down. I think they're relegated. Even though they're starting to win games now, I think they are relegated. My worry now is Hartlepool. Hartlepool are picking up points. Do you know what I mean? They're getting draws here and there. They're winning games. They're coming back and winning games. They look like a decent side, Hartlepool, now. They're at home as well. They are a force. They've got their crowd behind them. It's not a very nice place to go and play either. So I do worry about Hartlepool coming through. And we are relegation form as well. Literally, we are unbelievably bad form. Like, we are worse than League One. And one of my issues I've got this season, I think Graham Stacey put it up the other day, and I asked a question today to Luke McKenzie, who's on the board, about our budget, that our League Two budget this year is actually bigger than our League One budget last season. How are we in a position where we are down? I know budget ain't always into it, and people say it can happen to teams like spending its fortunes. But how are we in this position? We said if we got relegated from League One, it wouldn't be the end of the world, because League One's a tough division. You're playing the Sheffield Wednesdays. You're playing the Ipswiches. You're playing these big, big clubs. So, and you look at the teams down there this year, the Cambridges, the Morecambes, they you struggle against these big sides quite a lot. We've gone down and thought, right, we'll go down. Even if we get a mid-table finish and we win a few, we'll start winning games in League Two. We'll win games. We'll bring the happy back. There is no happy anymore. This is like, we are miserable pretty much week on week. This Sunday debrief, I'd love to come on here one week and go, we won 3-0 yesterday. How good was that last minute goal? Johnny Jackson is not bringing any excitement to us. He's not bringing anything where I can go, do you remember that game? We've got Leighton Orient at home where we played well and won 2-0. One game in a season. It's not good enough for me, and it really is frustrating me now. And I've been told that it doesn't matter what happens to the end of the season, Johnny Jackson is here next season, which is laughable. Mike, what did you want to say? I was speaking about you earlier, scores on the doors. How did you enjoy Harrogate yesterday?
Yeah, I actually missed it earlier on, Lee. I was watching a bit of football on telly there. But I thought, in all honesty, I thought we didn't play too bad at Harrogate. I thought we were okay. And that game in isolation, everyone would be walking away saying we were a bit unlucky and stuff. But what gets people, I suppose, is that it's happened before a few times. But on the Johnny Jackson thing and relegation in that league, just want to quickly say on that, we're 1,500-1 to relegated now. And I've had a tenner on it just to throw a tenner. It's 15 grand if we get relegated. So there's no chance whatsoever we're going to get relegated. And that's the first thing to say, regardless of how well Hartley Poon play or anything else. And the other thing is, as far as Johnny Jackson's concerned, I mean, I've made my feelings on it sort of fairly clear in the past. But I've kind of accepted now that he is going to be the manager next season. And if we're not careful, we turn into that sort of boring bloke down the pub who, when you say your KFC weren't very nice last night, blames it on Brexit and everything's about, you know, we've said what we've got to say. I think we've got to kind of now just get to end of season, let Danny Macklin go and buy, not Danny Macklin, the other fellow go and buy some Craig players. Craig. I know Danny's listening, so he's not, probably not Danny, but and you know, I mean, at the end of the day, I'm resigned to it now. I wrote a post today on Twitter and I said, it is what it is, mate. We're just going to, we'll know by Christmas, won't we, whether it was the right move or not to keep him. I've got my own suspicions one way or the other, but I hope he proves me wrong. You know, and by Christmas time, we're in the top 10, we're flying along, we're playing good football. But this season has been disappointing for sure. I'm not going to deny that. But I'm kind of moving on from it now. Otherwise, you end up in kind of wrist-slash mode, don't you? And I don't want to be there.
No, I did mention earlier, Mick, because you wrote your blog regarding the Harrogate treatment of Wimbledon fans yesterday, and it wasn't great. And as you said, you're a proud Yorkshireman. What did you see yesterday from Harrogate that you was disappointed? Because all the blame sometimes gets put at Wimbledon's doorstep, which ain't the case. Like Danny Macklin, as well as Jobby Darney, jumped on it straight away with Wimbledon fans, but it ain't always the club's fault. What was your view from Harrogate yesterday and the disappointment that you saw?
Well, just the way that the stewards were with all the fans, even if you got in, the way they were with you is not very, isn't it, very pleasant. Unnecessarily kind of hostile would be too strong a word, but certainly not very welcoming. And there was, where we were stood, you could see round the back of the stand that a number of Wimbledon fans turned up after the kickoff with tickets, and they wouldn't let them in. Now, I think it's to the credit of our fans, actually, that everyone just kind of accepted it. Maybe it's because we're not playing that greatly, I don't know. But everyone kind of just accepted it and went down the pub. But as I said in my post on the blog, imagine if that was Leeds or Newcastle. I mean, they wrecked the place. And I mean, you just can't treat people like that. It's unnecessary. Now, I know we messed up a little bit with the comms beforehand, but there was a stand behind the goal, Lee, a perfectly good stand with one guy in a high vis sitting in it. Why don't you let the fans go in there? I mean, what?
The problem I've got with that, Mick, I think, is that's the stand that's being redeveloped. So I don't think they can allow fans in there at the moment. I'm not sure if they allowed any other away fans in. I haven't paid much attention to Harrogate this season until we play them. But I think they're redeveloping one of their stands, and I think that is the one that's being sorted out. So they're making it, I don't know, bigger, I think. But yeah, so they couldn't let Wimbledon fans in there. So we were always going to be on the side. But I heard the same as you, that, yeah, they weren't very welcoming. People that I think one point one of our mates left his bag in the stand to go get back at it, get a half time, and they made it really difficult for him to then go back into the stand to get his bag because he went for a beer. And they weren't selling alcohol either, was they? They weren't selling alcohol in the ground.
No, you couldn't get it. It's like the town itself, which incidentally is a beautiful town for anybody who hasn't been. Go to Harrogate, it is gorgeous. But the town itself and the football club have decided that any away fans are an enemy. I mean, they get you to park in a car park by the sports club about, must be half a mile from the ground. And it's absolutely stipulated that that's where you've got to park. You can't park near the pubs or near the ground. And it's just a bit silly, you know. It sticks in your throat because, you know, I think, well, obviously I'm biased, Lee, but I think Yorkshire people generally are nice people, you know, and everybody else who you meet around the ground when you go for a beer is lovely. And then you get near the football ground and they aren't. And it's just unnecessary, you know. I mean, Harrogate and Wimbledon, as I said on the blog, we should be twin towns. It's the same bloody place with a different accent. You know, it's a posh area. It's very nice, very well heeled. But the ground's half empty. Why can't they just let people in and let them sit and watch the bloody game of football? What is the problem? It's just ridiculous.
To be fair, mate, once you get past Watford Gap, everyone's nasty, to be fair. Everyone's not very nice. Once you get past that Watford Gap, I'm not having anyone, to be fair. But the Lower League Look, who does a great job with regards to Lower League football and stuff, so follow their account, and they do a 6:06, normally at the same time as this, unfortunately, but they're a good listen. They just said that the stand was closed a month ago because for revamp, they haven't got a safety certificate on there, so they can't allow fans in there at the moment. So that's why that was closed. But I get your point. And when you get in, it wasn't nice. Hannah, what did you want to come? You wanted to come and say something. What did you want to say? Hello, Hannah. Are you on mute? Have you muted yourself? Hannah? Right. Hello. There you are.
I'm on the train back from watching Leeds Palace, which was very different, to be fair. But I wanted to just come in on the fact about the, like, kind of the experience at Harrogate. To be fair, I got a ticket in advance, so it wasn't a problem. But when we were in the, like, concourse area, they were very, not majorly apologetic, but they were like, oh, we are developing and next year we'll have a license for the alcohol, blah, blah, blah. So I feel like they're on their way to becoming something, you know, they're coming out of non-league into becoming something more. So they're probably in that transition period, if I'm trying to be fair to them.
No, I kind of get your point, because Danny said there, Danny was quite shocked that they were like that. He knows the owner and they're usually quite good. And someone else just made the point as well to Harrogate. In fairness, they are clearly a non-league club that have risen quite quickly and have come through the league. So, yeah, no, fair point regards to that. What did you make of the game yesterday? Why did we concede two goals late on?
I mean, I think what was very clear is that Pearson, as a lone player, he's it's weird that he's the one that seems.
Hello? Hannah, sorry,
we spoke to Sir Harrogate. Can you not hear me?
We lost you there for a minute, Hannah. Just repeat what you said regarding Pearson.
Basically, as a lone player, sorry, because I'm on the train, it's a bit bad. It was very clear at the end of the game. He seems to be one of the players that cared.
Sorry, Hannah, we keep losing you there. You've gone now altogether. Someone just put Mike T. I'm bewildered that JJ is still in a job. What has to happen for him to get sat? Our form is disgraceful. If there are reasons behind it, January budget withdrawn late on, maybe then let's hear it. Let JJ, Chris Stewart, Mick Butley say what's happened. I kind of agree with that. The PLC board are very, very quiet. Mick Butley, I've not seen where he is or know where he is. I know it's hard for Mike because if he comes out and says that we backed JJ, then we did that last year with Robbo. We come out and then a week later, Robbo was sacked. I'd like to see more people come out and say what is going on with regards to next season. Because is JJ going to be the job? For me, I think we run a poll regarding would people get season tickets next year. And I think it was 23% said they wouldn't and 21% were maybe. I think 44% of people might not get a season ticket next season. And a lot of that was to do with Johnny Jackson being in charge next year. I feel the same at the moment. If Johnny Jackson's in charge next year and we're playing this style of football, I don't really want to go and watch it. It's painful. It costs an absolute arm and a leg at the moment to go watch football. I love the away games. The away games are my favourite. I prefer away games to home games. But train tickets and the train companies are an absolute joke. They should be looked at and sorted out by the government, but that's nothing that Wimbledon can do. But yeah, I like going away. But going to watch Johnny Jackson play football, as I said earlier, he has not given me 1 minute of excitement this season. Not one. Even Robbo delivered that. Do you know what I mean? Even people before Robbo, Glynn delivered a bit of excitement. We have had nothing. How is JJ still in a job? George, I'm going to start with you.
Lee, just to pick up on something you said there, you said you don't like Johnny Jackson's style of play. if you could tell me what that would be really interesting. Because it just seems like this local season is he's just tried to sort of go, right, I'm playing these 11 players, lads, kick the ball towards the goal. That's literally what, like, there's nothing there where you've gone, early in the season he played 3-5-2, but it was just, right, centre-backs had the ball, now what happens? I mean, try and see if you can find Ayoub and see if he can beat a man. I mean, like, it's just the whole idea of Jackson infuriates me. I can't even articulate it, because even when we were at our best, we didn't even get into the playoffs. Everyone's like, yeah, we were really good for 2 months. We were never in the playoffs. We were never a top seven side at any point. We had playoff form for about 4 weeks, but we were never in the playoffs. So Jackson's has completely failed on every objective. Everything he said, I think in his first interview, he says, I want to play dynamic attacking football. I mean, where's that? Where's that been all season? Players who clearly shouldn't be playing because of fitness, because of poor form, he picks every week. There's no reason why the fans would turn up anymore. Blind loyalty is going to be there. Yeah, I get that. Like, we will still turn up. You're not offering any football where you go, yeah, do you know what, I'll turn up. And people can shoot me down for this. Even on Robbo's 27-game run, I thought, you know, I'd rock up and go, right, we're going to try and move the ball. We're going to try and play fast-paced attacking football. Yeah, it didn't work, but at least there was an idea there. With Jackson, I rock up and I go, what are we going to see today? Like, what am I going to see? And as Rochdale and Crawley showed, there's nothing there.
No, I agree. Kevin, also, before I come to Kevin, just 1 second. Is there anyone listening who is backing JJ? Anyone listening go, this is the reason why Johnny Jackson still is in charge? I know Mick said he's resigned to it, which says to me that he doesn't really want him in charge, but he knows he's not leaving. Is there anyone listening who goes, right, Johnny Jackson's in charge and this is the reason why? I'm backing him for these reasons. And if there is, please come on. Or if you don't want to speak, then put in the comments and I'll put it out there. But yeah, anyone who really is backing Johnny Jackson, I'd love to hear the reasons why. Kevin, how is Johnny Jackson still in a job?
I don't know. I'm a bit in sort of mixed camp, really. I'm sort of resigned to the fact. And if you read the Craig Cope stuff and listen to Danny a few weeks ago, it's clear that he's the man for next year. He's going nowhere. We could lose it. You get the feeling we could lose every week. Do you know what? End up in one of those two bottom spots and he'd still be kicking off in the National League. So he's not going anywhere. I do think in his defence, and I'm not saying I'm backing him, but I do think in his defence, he's been dealt a shit hand by the PLC board and the trust. I do think that we were in a reasonably good position, sort of January time. Any other club would have looked and gone, do you know what, this is worth a punt. Yeah, we'll spend a few quid, we'll take a few coins out of some pot that we shouldn't do, and we'll try and have a run at this. What did they do? They just let players go. You know, obviously selling Ayoub was a no-brainer. It had to happen. We lost the loans, which again was nothing to do with us. but we tried to do it on the cheap. We almost looked and thought, we're comfortable mid-table. Do you know what? We're never going to go down. We can save a few shillings here. And just, yeah, we've thrown. I do think the PLC did throw him to the lions in some ways. But I think he's going to be there next year, mate. And we just have to, you know, just get on with it. We either go or we don't.
Yeah, no, before I come to Robin and then Terry, someone's just put a point on here. Jake, it's Jake. Only reason Jacko still has a job is because there's no one else. I totally disagree with that. There is managers out there. There is managers that are available. The Cowley brothers, people are going to laugh at me and say we can't afford him. The Cowley brothers interviewed for the job before Robbo got it. They were affordable then. We put them down as not being ideal for Wimbledon because it would be the Cowley show. And we got Robbo instead, which at the time people probably wouldn't have said that was a bad decision. But the Cowley brothers are available now. They might want to look at getting back into management. They're old Wimbledon boys. They live, I know they've got a house in Essex because they were Canby boys. I think there is managers out there. People say, I say Dave Artell, people laugh at me about that as well, but he got Crewe promoted. You don't know who's going to apply for the job and who's going to be out there until you sack the manager. And you can't keep someone in charge of the football club if it's horrendous just because there might not be someone else out there. Drives me mad that people say you can't sack a manager because you don't know what's out there. You can't keep, like in Mike's job, he gets a bar manager in. Do you know what I mean? He's not going to keep him if he keeps smashing bottles and serving underage people. He ain't going to go, yeah, I've got to keep him because there might not be any decent bar managers out there. Mike, before I know you got your hand up. Before I come to you, I'm going to go to Robin first because he came on before you put your hand up. Robin, what did you want to say, mate?
I don't have much to say, but I think I'm in the same sort of boat as Mick in the sense that I'm resigned to having Johnny Jackson. I'll accept it, and I don't think there's sort of, we're not going to get anything else. So sort of I'm well, acceptance as long as we stay up, but I'm not even going to talk about that. But yeah, not really much else to say. On to anyone else.
Well, okay, no problem. Terry, what did you want to say, mate? And then we'll go back to Mike.
Evening, Lee. Yeah, I think the reason he's still in the job is because the club is frightened to admit they got it wrong again. I mean, it's as pure and simple as that. I mean, the time wasting that he's taught that team to do is shocking. I don't know whether anybody else noticed it, but Broome was time wasting from the first goal kick he got after our opening goal. And that's ridiculous. You know, there are ways of time wasting with the ball in play without doing things like that. And that's where a lot of the supporters are getting cheesed off as well. Things like that. It's not just losing a lead. It's the silliness that's coming in around it.
No, I kind of agree with that. Where you go, I think the club are now praying that Craig Cope's come in, Danny Macklin's come in, that we can give him some decent funds next year. Craig Cope can get him some players and we can improve. The problem I got is I don't think you can sign Sergio Aguero in his peak and we'd do anything with Johnny Jackson as manager. Stu Deakins has put, if Artell was any good, he'd be in a job now. Any more than 6 months out of the game and you've forgotten about. Try telling Roy Hodgson that at the moment, because I've seen, I think he's doing a good job at Palace and he's been out of the game for quite a long time. He's come back at what, 100 years old and doing it. I think that's an absolute nonsense that you can be out of the game for more than 6 months and you can't then go and manage someone else and do a good job. David Artell got Crewe out of this league. He's passionate and he's someone that we should be definitely looking at if Johnny Jackson was sacked. And also the lower league look said he's been rejecting jobs as well and said they know what they're talking about. Mike, you had your hand up and then we'll go to George. What do you want to say, Mike?
Yeah, just a quick couple of quick things, Lee. I mean, while I'm accepting Johnny, I don't accept these excuses for why we can't. People say we can't afford to get rid of him. Well, to an extent, if we get anywhere near going down and we can't sell any season tickets, you can't afford to keep him either, with the greatest respect. And also this thing about there's no other managers out there. You don't have a girlfriend that you've fallen out of love with and you can't stand anymore and say, well, I'm not going to finish it off because I might not get another girlfriend here. I mean, life doesn't work like that, does it? I think we have to be positive about what the club's got to offer and all the rest of it. And I think for sure people would be interested in the job. But I go back to what I said. I've accepted that the people that run the club have made the decision. I mean, I don't necessarily agree with it, but I've accepted it. And I do think I think the reason why we're we didn't spend any money in January. I think I've worked that one out. I think that's because Craig Cope had just come in, and they figured that spending money that he could spend himself in the summer would be counterproductive. So they thought we'll let Craig have a look for 6 months, and then we'll spend it in the summer at the end of the season. I think that I imagine that's the reason. I mean, I don't know that. It just seems like logic to me. And similarly, our style of play that we all talk about, I suspect we're going to go significantly more direct with a big striker next season. And the reason we aren't doing that already is because we haven't got one. But I would be very surprised if at the end of the season we don't buy at least one big striker who we can hit diagonals to and stuff. So, yeah, I don't think all these lost leave. But I don't accept these tin pot excuses as to why we can't move on. If we're going to stick with Johnny, then fair enough. I accept that. But to throw all this nonsense about you can't keep sacking managers, well, you can if you employ bad ones. Yeah. So I don't accept that either. But if we're going to stick with him, we stick with him. But I would like the club to kind of say that, and not. I'm not asking the club to say, look, we need to win it by 15 points or anything, but top 10 would set a target for us. A sensible target next season, top 10 or top half or whatever it is. And really, I mean, in all honesty, I've said if he can't get top 10 after he's had two seasons in the job, then he ought to walk, never mind get sacked. But I think we can get top 10 next season, surely to Christ. Bloody top 10 is not asking much, is it?
No, I agree. And I think you made some great points in there, and I totally agree with you in regards to you can't sack a manager because there's no one else out there. We don't know who else is out there. And as I said, if you were in your profession and you hired a bar manager and he keeps serving underage people, or he keeps, do you know what I mean, there's fights every week and it's all kicking off in your pub and he can't manage it, you then go to him, look, it's time to go, even if he's only been in a job a month or two. People have great CVs. People have they can interview the best in the world. And I've had it where I've worked in places and they've said, this geezer coming in, his interview was unbelievable. Do you know what I mean? He's an absolute world. He's come in and he's been absolute shit. Most of the time it was me, to be fair, but yeah, well,
but the other thing I'd say, Lee, as well, if you're trying to replace Jurgen Klopp at Liverpool or Pep Guardiola at Man City, it's not easy, you know? It's not easy to find managers of that calibre. But we are talking about a guy who's won 3 in 17 or 19 or whatever the bloody hell it is. I mean, I wouldn't go as far as saying you could put just about anybody in there, but you're not far off, are you, really? I mean, we can all coach losing football teams, no, can't we? So the
ball's
not so high.
I totally agree with you. And I think he did do a great job at Charlton. I think he knows that he was lucky to get this job. He thought he was going to walk League Two and then he'd be in a position where then he could go, well, Wimbledon, I've got you up into the playoffs. I've got you into the, or promoted. I'm moving on now to Oxford or something like that. And it hasn't worked out. And I know he knows that if he gets sacked, then his football managing career is pretty much over. George, I'll come to you because you had your hand up first. Then I'm going to go to Kevin and then Robin.
Firstly, sorry, Mick, just to come back on you, that we don't have a God-given right to the top 10. Our budget's 13th. We're a club on a downwards trend. Why do we think, as a fan base, we have a God-given right to a top 10 finish? We have, next season, we'll have Ali and Josh, yeah. But apart from that, we have got no spine of a team. So why, as a fan base, do we think we have this God-given right to finish higher than we do? And secondly, next season, Cope's job is meant to recruit players. Jackson's job is therefore to coach the players. How the people at the PLC and the people who make this decision can see Jackson as a genuine coach to improve players is baffling. If you see him as a manager, that's different and that's fair. But as a coach, when you take away a lot of his responsibilities, because that's now Cope's job as a head of football, he isn't the man for the job. But we don't have a God-given right to the top half of the table.
George, can you just quickly come back on that top 10 thing? Just, and it's the last thing I'll say because I don't want to bore everybody senseless. But I accept the budget thing. But at the start of a season, every football team in the division, you're not starting from scratch. So if a team has a bigger budget than you, then fair enough. But we are going to be starting the season with Ali and Josh Davison up front, who are, without any question, two of the best strikers in the league. We are going to be starting the season with three or four players that are decent players, you know, whereas if other teams are buying from scratch, then their budget helps. But we're already in a reasonable position. I know you don't agree with me on all these points about decent players and stuff.
If we've got a load of decent players, why are we 18th? Why are we 18th?
Well, I've said consistently, George, and I think you probably agree with me, that I think the bunch of players we've got ought to be significantly higher than 18th, you know, in all honesty. I mean, that's the short answer to that. But they aren't, and they aren't for a number of reasons. But I would say this, my last word on this is, I would say the same to you as and Lee as well. I did this probably five or six days ago. Accept that Johnny Jackson's going to be the manager and just put down the sword and you'll find life a lot better. He's going to be the manager. Let's see how he goes.
No, I get your point, Mike, but I also get George's point because, as you say, we have got the Allies, we have got the Wills, we have got these players now, and we are performing horrendously. We're 18th. People will go, everyone looks at excuses all the time with Wimbledon, and I love it. We have our injury problems. We have got one of the worst injuries in the land. But I think Graham Stacey made a great point here. It feels like sometimes we forget that pre-Craig Cope, we had the hugely respected Jamie Johnson heading up recruitment from the summer through to the end of January. He has to take some credit for the likes of Pearson, Ali and Giorgio. It's not like we had nobody on transfers. But I understand that Craig Cope was behind Ali. And he was also behind Amani Little. The rest of them were Johnson in January, and that failed miserably. Kevin, you've been waiting patiently in the wings. What did you want to say? And then I'm going to go to Robin after, who's been waiting as well.
I just don't get this major thing about Craig Cope. It's like he's some kind of fucking Jedi Knight that we put half a season on hold for until he gets, you know, in the job on that. Why would you sit there and not spend, yeah, when you had the other fella in the, you know, in place, who, let's be fair, hadn't done bad in the summer getting in, you know, players. The, you know, we all thought that the players we'd signed and the loans we got. Ali, yes, totally agree. Probably the best striker in the league. Davison, I'm not so 100% sure, to be honest, for me. Strikers score goals. He don't score goals. I think the big problem in the summer is whether Ali will kick a ball for us on the first day, because I can see him moving on, and I can see us moving him on to cash in. So we should have been building a spine this year. Yeah, we should have been levelling off, building that spine, putting it together. And the problem is, with the end of the season, and I don't really see much of that spine sitting there. So it's a rebuild again. And it's, you know, year after year, the same thing.
No, good point. Good point regarding the rebuild. I know many people have said before, we can't keep, as much as they say, we can't keep sacking managers. We can't just keep, as you said, if we get Ali now and then we sell him in the summer, he's only been here 6 months. We need players who are going to be here a long term, build a squad, build a first team and go on and win games. Robin, you've been waiting again patiently. So what did you want to say, mate?
On that note, on Ali, actually, I imagine many people would feel the same. I would be so disappointed and gutted if we sold him in the summer, unless it was multi-million. I mean, I guess there's always a release clause issue. I don't know what the contract is, obviously, but it would be so disappointing. I'd love us to hold on to Curry, but I can imagine that's not going to happen, especially with sort of wanting to be fair to him. But in my opinion, we should offer him a big contract, but I wouldn't be surprised if we saw him go. But sort of on a general note, it'd be nice just to sort of, because all the sort of news we've got out of the club recently, I think there's the open training session, which is all nice, although I hope it doesn't turn into a disaster. Hopefully it's mainly children and families going along and nothing, no one overly loudly voices their opinions, or obviously I feel like that's probably not the time and place, but it'd be nice to hear something about season tickets, maybe frozen price, maybe even cheaper, I don't know. I mean, I know we talk about budget and everything, but we need something, and it's clearly not happening on the pitch at the moment. And I'm stupid enough that I'm going to be going on Monday, but I know and respect a lot of people that aren't. So, yeah.
I've got to come back to a few points here regarding, Ali, I hope we don't sell him. Jack Curry, I think we will have to cash in. I think it's the maddest thing we've ever done is we rejected loads of deals from Bristol. He was playing really well. I know he got an injury. Then we just dropped him out the scene for someone like Lee Brown. And Lee Brown is going in the... Well, no, he ain't going. Actually, we've got another year for Lee Brown. Thank God for that, eh? But yeah, we dropped him, and that's probably taken some money off his worth as well, because he's not playing as much. And we have to sell a player in the summer to make sure that our budget is competitive. That was in the minutes, or that's been printed somewhere, that we have to sell players every year now to make sure, because of the ground payment. So someone's going to have to go in the summer. I think it will be Jack Curry. Biller, unfortunately, is too injury prone. And Ali, I just can't see us selling now unless we get a mad offer. On your other point there regarding the training day, I agree, and Don's Vlogs said something regarding that earlier about players, young kids being pushed at Harrogate for the adults to make their feelings known against the team. I'd love us to go kind of Italian-German style, though, on the training day. And I know it would upset the kids and stuff, but go proper like ultras, you know what I mean? All wear balaclavas, take loads of flares, go down there, get one of our, like Lee Willett or someone with a voice to go down there and actually speak to the players and tell them it ain't actually good enough. Do you know what I mean? Because again, we're having a go at Johnny Jackson here and we're having a go at the PLC board, but a lot of these players have just been shit for years. Woodyard's our captain. Marsh, where's Marsh been for the last 2 years? Do you know what I mean? He's been making good money. He'll be gone. When does that geezer ever smile? Has anyone ever seen George Marsh smile? He's the most miserable little git ever. Smile, mate. But yeah, I'd love us to go proper German, Italian style. Take a load of flares down there. Take the ultras down there. Go and speak to the players and tell them it ain't actually good enough. And actually get your fingers up out your ass and start playing fucking football. Before I come back to you, Kevin, Stuart, you've come on to speak. What did you want to say?
Yeah, cheers. Thanks, I'll follow that, Lee. Yeah, I was going to say, like, in terms of rebuilding, I think every summer you're going to be rebuilding to a certain extent, but it depends on how much you're rebuilding. I think even with Craig Cope, I think it's more than just recruitment for first team. I think it's setting a style. You know, if you think about every manager that's come in, they want to play a different way. They want to play a different way. So I think it's really important that we get the players in, but not rebuilding, but adding each summer or each window. But I was, you know, I know you've done your tier build, which is really good actually on your Twitter site. But my gut thing is I would get rid of quite a lot because I think we just have a losing mentality, and that shows so many times from when we keep losing from winning positions.
No, thanks for that, Stuart. Thanks for your appreciation on that. Great job again from our man Joe Mojo. He does excellent work for us. With regards to that, we're going to release the results of the most popular ones that were picked, and the let them go section was Pierce, Woodyard, Marsh, Brown, Bartley, Adji Hershey, Fisher, Cosgrave and Gunter. What tells me from that is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of them players are senior experienced pros, and we were crying out for saying that we knew.
Is it just me, Lee? I'm not hearing anyone.
Yeah, I think Lee's gone.
Hello, yeah, no, that was my fault.
I was going to host Lee, but I thought
I'd be heck, can you imagine that? Yeah, sorry, I was saying with regards to that, and appreciate you saying that, Stu, regarding the tier list. The ones that we had voted the most, we're going to put the results out later, was Pierce, Woodyard, Marsh, Brown, Bartley, Hedgy Dershy, Fisher, Cosgrave and Gunter were the ones that we would let go. The fans voted to let go. They were the most. And what tells me regarding that is that 5 of them players are all experienced pros on decent money. And we've always said we're crying out last year for experience. And this year we're happy to let the 5 most experienced players be released. Do you know what I mean? We don't want them anymore. They've not done it for us. And we're happy to see them go, which...
To replace with what, though, Lee? To replace with what? With more experience? Or?
Well, I think with regards to Pierce, I think as much as people love Pierce, and he's when he came back in, he was brilliant. Unfortunately, he's injury prone. He looks like he can't walk after games, and you need your money on the pitch. With regards to Marsh, I just think he's had 2 years with us now, or 3 years now. He just hasn't done it. Woodyard, in my opinion, is the worst captain that Wimbledon have ever had. And I think people are just sick of him now and the way he plays and the way he captains the team. I'd like to see us get more experience in. We need, I say, a 24, 25-year-old. What we wanted in Marsh, we need players like what we thought we were getting with George Marsh, and we just haven't got it. Just been poor.
Yeah, the last thing I was going to say, I think we've got to be careful on what we recruit. I think you've got to have some experience because you can't go with kids. Not in this league. You look at this league, every team is massive. You know, if you look at teams like Walsall now, every player they bought almost taller than the player they replaced. So I think we need to go with big, ugly players and not overload it with kids.
Well,
can I just add something? The position I worry about over the summer the most is centre back. If you look, we've got Will Nightingale for another 2 years.
Yep.
you don't get much value for money out of him in games per season. PK probably had his best season for us, but again, I don't know how many games he's at. Can't be close to 30. Pierce, you're not going to get many games out of. And then you've got a load of the fan base saying, I want to sign Pierre. And Pierre's been injury prone for the last 3 years. So you then got four centre-backs at the club you're going to be paying. Most of the time, you're going to have two fit. Then you've got Luke Jenkins as your one up-and-coming, and he's also injury prone. So experience is all well and good, but you've got to have that out on the pitch. You look at Craig Eastman at Sutton. He plays most weeks, and he leads that side. So we've got to have the experience that plays every week. Pierce is great, but he doesn't play. And I know people say he's massive on the training ground. That's great. That's irrelevant when you've got to defend a corner in the 98th minute. That's irrelevant.
I don't buy all that stuff about people massive on the training ground. They should all be massive on the training ground. Do you know what I mean? Harry Pell's massive on the training ground. I keep getting told Chris Gunter's brilliant behind the scenes. He's really good with the youngsters. I don't care. Go away, Chris Gunter, you mug. I don't want you playing for Wimbledon anymore. Do you know what I mean? Especially after you've just gone off and coached Wales instead of playing in two important games for us. But I get your point about centre-backs, and I think I agree with Kevin with regards to what he said about Craig Cope. Craig Cope, is he going to be some kind of Jedi Knight that's going to save us with regards to the players that we need? Because as you said there, George, we don't just need central midfielders. Mike's talking about we need a big striker up front. He signed Hudlin for Solihull Moor, so hopefully we're not getting Kyle Hudlin back in the summer.
Also sold him, Lee, as well, for a profit.
Yeah, to be fair, I do give him his due on that he bought him and sold him. But would you like him back, Stu, for another season?
No. If you look at Craig Cope's reputation at Solihull, really was a big man up front, wingers. So you can probably guess how we're going to play, probably, or what he's going to recruit like.
And that's brilliant, and that reputation is great for where he was. But that I'm just going against the grain with Craig Cope because I think he'll do a good job. But you've got to look at it from the point of view that Solihull Moors were in the conference. They didn't do that. They got into the playoffs and lost. Do you know what I mean? And then they've lost a few players and they're struggling this season. They're not doing as good as last year. Maybe that's the Craig Cope influence or the fact that Neil Ardley isn't that great a manager that everyone thinks he is.
Lucky manager.
Yep. Kevin, what did you want to say? You got your hand up. What did you want to say? Because I've got to close it down very shortly.
Yeah, I was just going to say about the budget and Stu might tell me whether I've read it right or wrong, but listening to Chris on 9 Years podcast, the impression I got was the money that was we got for Ali is spoken for already next year to prop the hole in the budget. So I don't think we can see much of that. So you can see somebody else needing to generate some money with a sale or two to get us moving this time.
I think as everyone knows we have to sell one player per season to fill the hole in the budget. So this year, I think it will be Jack Curry. I think Jack Curry will be off to probably Bristol. I don't think we're going to get the money that we want for him now because he hasn't been playing games, hasn't put himself in the shop window. I do worry about the budget. As I said, Graham Stacey put a tweet out the other day that this year's budget was bigger than last year's in League Two. And to me, it looks like we've squandered it on quite a lot of crap, to be fair. But there will be some players leaving the team. Gunters, I think, will go. I think Pierce will retire at the end of the season. And I think that will give us some money back. But it is a massive summer for Danny Macklin, Craig Cope and the squad. And for me, this is why Johnny Jackson should not be our manager. And we should be looking at getting a new manager in who's going to take us forward because he hasn't. We're actually in a worse position now than we've ever been. Do you know what I mean? I know people say, well, you can't when we started from the beginning. But yeah, as a Football League club, we are really in a horrendous position this year. And the football's not great. I just hope that come tomorrow that we win a game of football. Can't see us winning against Salford. People say, I think it could be toxic. And I don't think it will be anymore. I think people just pass caring now. And they'll leave the game. And they'll go off. Andrew Harding wants to come on and quickly speak. Thought you'd be watching the Masters, Andrew. Andrew, you got yourself on mute, mate.
Sorry, apologies. Yeah, I'm just watching the Masters now. So if someone makes a hole in one, I might suddenly start cheering. Just wanted to make a point about, look, if you know, I'm very much in Mick's train of thought. You know, I'm sort of resigned in some respects that JJ's going to stay next season, which kind of, you know, it is what it is. But I'd sort of spin it on its head, is that obviously there's people that are going to make that decision. What's the consequences for the people that make that decision? Because in any other sort of organization, if a sales director decides to keep salespeople who aren't performing, and then eventually they continue not to form, isn't it their responsibility? Isn't it his responsibility? Like, you know, I sort of see a lot of people making decisions and then they have no accountability. So essentially we just go on this sort of roundabout, which is, oh yeah, it's the manager's fault. It's the manager's fault. But is it not the people that are making the decisions who are keeping the manager? Like, who is actually making that decision? You know, who are the 3, 4, 5 people that have come out and said, no, I'm the guy that's going to keep Johnny Jackson. I'm backing him. I just find it just sort of, it seems to me like, you know, if we do get to Christmas, and in all likelihood is he's going to fail. Like, I see absolutely no chance that he's going to be successful in his job next season. There's just, you know, the football is so bad. The players are so demotivated and the performances have been pathetic this season, apart from probably a sort of whatever it was, about a 6 to 8 week period. How is he, you know, what then happens in December? Does anyone put their hands up and goes, do you know what? I'll go with him because I stuck my neck on the line and I wanted to keep him. Who, you know, or is it just those same people go, that didn't work out, we'll pick the next manager?
So you're saying that as a fans club, as we're supposed to be sold as, we don't know as the fans who are picking these decisions. Where's the accountability of why it's gone wrong again this season? Do you know what I mean? It went badly wrong last year under Robbo. From some of the stuff that I've heard regarding the panel that picked our manager, it's absolutely laughable that some people were on that panel. Some of the stuff that has come out regarding that, well, I know regarding who we picked over other managers, again, is laughable. This year, it seems like Mike Butley went on his own, interviewed Johnny Jackson. I understand Johnny Jackson was, we were going to interview other people and decided to give it Johnny Jackson before we interviewed other people and we gave it to him. An unexperienced manager.
Is there anybody on this call that can say, like, because no one on this call has come forward and said they're backing Johnny Jackson. Is there anyone on this call that can say who is deciding that Johnny Jackson should keep his job until next season? Like, who is making that decision?
It's the PLC. It's the PLC, isn't it? That's,
and who are the individuals on the PLC who are making that decision?
I'm not entirely sure. I'm sure they'll be. It'll be in the Don's Trust. So it'll be on the website somewhere. Who's on the PLC? But ultimately, the PLC are the ones who make the decisions whether he stays or goes. Because I think last year the fuck up was, wasn't it the Don's Trust released a statement saying we back Robbo, and then the PLC a week later were like, no, we don't. I think that's why it's ultimately the PLC or the footballing side. Clearly, the PLC are still majority, see a style of football, see a delusion essentially behind Jackson that's enough to keep him in a job. Or we are really, really fucked financially to the point we cannot afford to get rid of Jackson. So either way, there's a massive line going on to the
But isn't
fans.
It amazing that there's 95 people on this call, like pretty experienced fans, and no, like, unless no one wants to, but who? Surely there must be someone who can come forward and go, okay, these are the three names that are keeping Johnny Jackson.
As I think George is right, I think it's the PLC, which is Mike Butley, Nick Robinson. I'm not sure of exactly the names on there. This is why it drives me mad that the Don's Trust get absolutely pelters and they get ripped to pieces, but no one ever goes against the PLC board. As I said before, Mick Butley's got the best job in the town and he's the chairman of a football club that hasn't put any money in and gets to make all the big decisions. Like, I think it was him that went on this thing with Johnny Jackson and said, you're going to be the man for the job. And as I said before, Johnny Jackson is so uninspiring. The geezer loves going out for a drink on a Friday night before games. Do you know what I mean? There was rumours, where was it? Doncaster, that he went out. And apparently that's what they do on a regular basis. They go out and drink before on away games. It's like, well, I want a manager who's going to... I want the Wimbledon way. I don't want the Cheltenham way. If you love Cheltenham so much, go back there. But they don't want you either, mate. So I'm just so frustrated. And I agree with you, Andrew. There's no accountability above Johnny Jackson in regards to... Who made the decision to bring him in? Why are we sitting in 18th place and happy with it? As I said, I was just about to say before you come on regarding tomorrow if we lose, I think people just don't care anymore. We've got to that point where we're so sick of it. I think people, if we go 1-0 down or something, people will leave and go to the Phoenix or they'll go off somewhere else. And we've just passed caring now and we just want to get to the summer, get it over and done with and hope that Craig Cocoke can be the messiah that everyone wants. But I just got a feeling that he's just going to be a naughty boy, really. And that's it. Anyone else want to chuck in anything before we go? I've got to kind of finish up. The missus is telling me to finish up so we can eat some Easter eggs. And watch.
Hopefully everyone's excited for a Jana masterclass tomorrow.
If as you said before to me, George, if the answer is Chris Jenner, what's his name, Seiko Jenner. If the answer is Seiko Jenner, I don't want to know what the question is. To be fair, mate. Hopefully Pearson gets some more minutes. I thought he was lively the other day. Hopefully Bendel will be included in the squad because this will be the right game for him. It is mad to me, right? I really got to go soon, but it is mad to me that we are not playing our young players. Do you know what I mean? Bendels, do you know what I mean? How are we not throwing him in? Throw in Adji Hirschi as well. Throw in Bartley. Do you know what I mean? These players are the ones that have been here. As people said, we're not going down this year. So throw these players in. Give them minutes. I don't get how Bendel didn't even travel up to Harrogate. And we've got fucking shit pieces like Woodyard and Marsh. That's my nutting. But yeah, anyway.
Sorry, Leo. I just want to add, like, you're bringing on Janna to play on the wing. Why not bring on Adji Hirschi just to see if the kid's good enough? You're not going to re-sign Janna. So no. What's the point? What's the yep. point? They're both. If Adji Hirschi cannot do worse, like we've seen Janna, and he is shit. So the levels that I'm expecting of Adji Hirschi, he's only going to be better. So why not throw him in? But clearly Jackson sees something in Janna.
I said it on the podcast to Danny this week. I said all I want, if we'd gone to Harrogate and we'd lost 3-2 like yesterday, Friday. But we'd gone for it. We'd absolutely had some shots. They keep on making some worldy saves. They've come back at us. And we've made a game of it. I'd go, right, hold my hands up. But we don't get that under Johnny Jackson. We don't get the full throttle. We're not going to go out there. He says we're going to attack from the first minute. We don't. And that's what I said. But I'd rather see our youth team playing, going at it full throttle. I think most Wimbledon fans would. If we were going at them and we lost, say, 1-0 tomorrow at Salford, but you could see we put in a proper effort. Their keepers made some couple of great saves, do you know what I mean? But we've seen some effort and we've seen some passion. Most Wimbledon fans would stand up and go, yeah, fair play. But we don't get that week on week. As I think Sam Elliott has said before, it's just predictable. We know what's going to happen tomorrow. We'll probably go 1-0 up and lose 2-1. Right, that's me done with another rant on the Sunday debrief. I'm sick of ranting every week now. It's just getting boring. But everyone, enjoy the game tomorrow. I won't be there. Everyone else is going. Enjoy it. Have fun. Have a good Easter. Danny Macklin, good luck to you and your wife. And we'll speak soon. Thank you very much, everyone. Take care.